We're learning about a gabba dubber. Learning about a gabba dubber. Want to discuss a shaila. Let's say, or a yeshiva, rabbi of a shul, somebody makes a commitment to give money to the shul. And it's a shaila, it's a commitment binding or not. Let's say the rav, the yeshiva, is asked to paskin on that shaila. Is he allowed to? Is that a shaila of negabba dover or not? Is negabba dover said about a dayan? In such a case, we have to ask ourselves two questions. Is this considered negabba dover? The fact that if a person donates money to the shul, it's ultimately good for a rav that his shul should have more money, for yeshiva should have more money. And B, does the idea of negabba dover apply outside the context of a dayan, outside of Beis Din, to paskening a shaila in Isser v'Heter, in Nedarim, in Yardea in general? It turns out both these shailas are actually interesting, and the answers are perhaps not, you know, not what one might think, and both of these present interesting questions. The first question about negabba dover in such a context. So we have a string of tshuvas. We have Marik, then Maria ben Lev. The Shach brings it very briefly. You may have noticed the Shach. The Shach says, literally, just about four words, he says, an employee is allowed to be a dayan for a dentara involving his boss. He's not considered negabba dover. If you look at the source is the tshuva in the Maria ben Lev. Maria ben Lev is quoting a Marik. Marik was talking about a Rebbe being a dayan for his student, or for the father of a student, the one who was actually paying his tuition. And the Marik and Ibn Lev say, no problem. They say that there is no issue of negabba dover, no issue of shochad. Shochad, for example, is when the litigant gives money to the dayan in connection with the case. Here's money because you're serving in my case. Here's money to influence you in my direction. Here's money which I don't owe you. I'm just giving you giving you a present in connection with the case. That's shochad. But if someone is being paid for a service he provides, a Rebbe is being paid schar tircha, whatever the justification of paying a Rebbe is, they say schar tircha there. The Rebbe is being paid simply for the work that he does. That does not make him an negabba dover. It's not considered shochad. And Marie ben Lev goes on and says, similarly, in a case where we don't find any employee is puzzled to be a dayan for his boss. He says, because even though it's true, the boss is paying him money, he gets a check biweekly from the boss. That's not called shelcha, that's not negabba dover. You're getting paid for services rendered. You're getting paid according to your contract. So there's no din of negabba dover. We don't find anywhere that that's considered shelcha or negabba dover. As a matter of fact, he says a rav, question people often ask, a rav paskin shalos for his community, even though they pay his salary. Even for the richest man in the community who might own assets, you know, he might be half the budget of the shul, comes from him. Doesn't matter. So the rav can be a dayan. As long as the rav is getting paid for his general services as rav, or his services teaching Torah to the student of the litigant, he's not getting paid in connection with the case, that is fine. Now, the truth is, when it comes to rav and talmud, there's another issue involved. The Aruch HaShulchan, when he speaks out rav and talmud, he says the rav is allowed to be a dayan for his talmud, because even though he likes him very much because of the Torah he teaches him, but again, like he says, the same Torah that Chas V'Shalom, that the Rav is going to be corrupt because he loves his Talmud with whom he has a Torah relationship. Similar to what we saw in the Chavas Yar says that a person can be a dayan for someone he knows is a Rasha, I guess, or a Tzaddik. You don't say, because the Torah told me to hate Rishayim or love Tzaddikim, I'm biased. That doesn't make you an Ohev or a Sone, because the same Torah that told you to hate the Rasha or love the Tzaddik told you to suspend judgment and give him a fair trial, give him a fair hearing, in spite of the fact that you have a religiously motivated love or hatred. So Aruch HaShulchan says a similar idea. He says that just because the Rebbe loves his Talmud, that doesn't mean that Chas V'Shalom, that he won't give an honest din. And the Tzemach Tzedek actually says that Kol Shekein, the reverse. Certainly the Talmud, if there would be such a case, can be a dayan for his Rebbe. He says the Rebbe loves the Talmud more than the Talmud loves the Rebbe. So just like a father and son. Chazal tell us that a father loves his son more than the son loves the father. So if the early posts can say that a Rebbe can be a dayan for his Talmud, who he really loves, certainly a Talmud can be a dayan for the Rebbe, who he doesn't love quite as much. So neither the problem of Ohev, nor the problem of Shochad, or Negabba Dover, none of these problems apply. Aruch HaShulchan does add, and it's not clear where he gets this from, but if he really loves the Talmud, Ava Mamish, Machmas Torah, then he shouldn't take the case.
If he's going to lose a job, is that
Shochad? That's what I'm going to get to in a minute. Rav Shulchan said, if he really loves him, Ava Mamish, then he shouldn't take the case. Again, he just said Chalila that he's going to distort the case. I don't know what happens when he loves him Ava Mamish, But basically, most of the poskim say there's no problem, no ava and sinna, no problem of shocha, no problem of negeba davar. Now, for many years, I have had the question that Adrian is asking, which is, it's very nice, you're making a formal argument, but in the real world, what boss is going to be able to approach a case of his employer with equanimity, with a neutral? He knows if he crosses his boss, he's fired. That he can lose his livelihood. The common sense you would think would indicate it doesn't make any sense for an employee to be allowed to be if you're talking about someone who has more clients than he can deal with. The Rebbe's he's the most desired tutor in town. As soon as he loses this client, he'll have 10 more knocking on his door. Fine, that I can understand. He doesn't need the job. The guy doesn't like it. In the real world, in many jobs, most jobs maybe, the employee is very happy to have a job, and it's not going to be so easy for him to find another job. So the poskim don't make chilukim. The poskim don't say that there's any chilukim. What kind of employee? The shachar says an employee is allowed to be a job, allowed to be a dayan for his boss. Very hard to understand how the poskim can just say that without any. There is a shita the Knesset Gedola brings, the shita of the Marash Dam, that there is a midas chasidus not to do it. But they're medayik that the Ben Leiv doesn't say that, the Shach doesn't say that, they don't even say midas chasidus. Their mashmas is nothing whatsoever, nothing wrong. You can be a dayan for your boss. So it's very hard to understand why that could be, but that's what the poskim say. So similarly in a case that we're talking about, if someone is going to pass in a shayla where the reshiva gets a salary from his yeshiva, the rav gets a salary from the shul, someone's making a donation to the shul. Now, it's not directly going to affect his salary. His salary, he does have a contract with the shul, but clearly if the shul has more money, he'll be in a better position for his next contract. They're more likely to pay him on time. It's, common sense, again, would say that he certainly has an interest in his institution having more money. So, again, common sense might indicate that should be called negeba davar, yet the poskim say that the Marie Ben Leif's case actually was very similar to the Kollel case, the yeshiva case. His case was that one of the litigants was someone who made a grant to this Talmud Chacham that he should be able to teach Talmidim tuition-free. It would all be covered by this generous benefactor. So again, he wasn't being paid for the din, but he's getting money from him. He likes him. He needs his money. Marie Ben Leif said, no problem. But again, common sense, it's a little hard to understand why that should be. Just discussing the other half of the Shaila, whether negeba davar applies outside the question of chashan mishpat. So we actually just learned this recently. We're learning nida in the morning. Famous discussion whether iser v'heter, kashra shaylas, nida shaylas, shaylas and halacha outside chashan mishpat. Is there any problem with a person paskening a shayla from which he stands to gain or lose a lot of money? A person shechts his own cow. There's a shayla in the lung. He happens to be an expert shochin and bodik. He knows the halachas inside out. He's a big talmud chacham. Is he allowed to pasken his own kashra shayla? The answer basically is yes. The consensus of all the poskim is, we don't care how much money you stand to gain or lose. Talmid Chacham are presumed to be honest. Rav Avadia brings a famous passage of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says that Shochad, Negeba, these types of things are Gzeiras HaKasevs, he says. The only real concern of a true Talmid Chacham is the Emes, is the Ratzon Hashem and the Emes. No matter what temptation he has, it pales in importance to the petty financial things, money, all of my zed, pales in importance to doing right and wrong. I've never understood this Chazon Ish. It's true that ideally that's what we would like, but the Torah is written for the real world. The Torah is written, maybe people want a really high madrega, that would be true, but the Torah is written for Giftach Madara Kishmul Madara. The Torah is written for every generation, every Rav, every Dayan. It's very hard to understand how the Torah really thinks every single Rav who's ever going to pass Kina Shaila is going to be on such a high madrega that the mortal things don't stare him, and we have all these halachas of negeba davar, that the Chazon Ish says gzeiras hakasev, but very hard to hear how in the real world this is not a concern. But nevertheless, the consensus of all the poskim is that when it comes to ordinary yisur v'heter, no matter how much money a person stands to gain or lose by paskening a shayla, there is no problem, he's neman. Now, nida specifically, there is a little bit of a debate. The debate begins from a gemara. The gemara says that Yalta, the wife of Rav Nachman, the woman has a story. She was showing her bedikas to various other amara, not her husband. One particular time she showed it to him, she said, every day I show this to somebody else, and he always tells me that. She was apparently in the habit of showing her bedikas to other rabbanim. The question is why? She had Rav Nachman was her husband. So the Rishonim give a number of different terutzim. Some say Rav Nachman actually was not competent in Nida Shalas. We find some amara didn't consider themselves fully competent. Some say Shalotis Gana Elav, it's just unpleasant after. It's not good for the relationship for the woman to show bedikas to her own husband. Some say that she was afraid he would be too machmer. She was afraid that if he would pask in his own shayla, he would just you know, be afraid to be mekel if it was negei himself. Some poskim actually bring these things as halachas, or as you know, they bring it down as a woman should not show shaylus to her husband because of these concerns. Pashas is just, she personally was afraid to do it. But most of the Rishonim take for granted that just because he was paskening his own shaila, there was no problem. Even though a person wants to be with his wife, that's in Negia, no problem. Outside Beis Din, there's nothing wrong with paskening a shaila, even if you stand to gain from it. There is a shita of the Rash on Mishnayos. The Rash says when it's a Chazik Yisura, the Chokmas Adam says a shaila in Tefillah, you shouldn't pasken because the woman is a Chazik Yisura. Maybe on a Hefsek Tara, some posts can say that's called a Chazik Yisura. Maybe even during the Zayin Nekiyim, some posts can say it's different definitions and need what's called a Schatzki Surah, but the Rash himself is not Muska. Many posts can disagree. There are some posts who say that on a Schatzki Surah you shouldn't paskin. Most posts can say that in general, certainly on regular Isser V'Heter, there was no problem, a Rav can paskin his own Shailas. And Negabadavra was only said in the context of a Din Torah between two parties and a Dayan, was not said in regard to Horah at all. Now, there are three cases in the Mishnah in Bukharas that a Rav cannot paskin himself, three specific cases. One of them is Bukhar, a Bukhar behema. You have to paskin that has a mum in order to be lenient, to eat it without shechita in the Beis HaMikdash. It says the Chacham can't paskin for himself. One case is Hataras Nedarim. A person can't be master his own neder, even if he's a Talmud Chacham and knows all about Hilchas Pesach and Charat and everything. Can't be master your own neder. And one case is Negar Tzaras. A person can't paskin his own Negar Tzaras. So the problem is, elsewhere in Halacha, we find one or two other cases. Shvuya, if a woman is captured, and we're not sure if she was molested by a non-Jew. It says a person, even Bataras Edus, the husband can't be made, the husband can't be made themselves. But in general, the Mishnah says there are three cases that a Rav can paskin for himself. So the question is, why not? The Rishonim actually medayik from that. It's mashma, only those three cases, everything else, nida, kashrus, everything else, the Chacham could paskin for himself. The question is, why? What is so special about those three cases? If we're not worried about negeva davar outside based, then why are those three cases different? Why do we say the idea of, why is negeva davar all of a sudden a problem over there as opposed to everywhere else? So it's not really clear. The Gaon says something very intriguing, although hard to understand. The Gaon in El Yerabah says, those three cases, the yeshivish thing, those three cases have a din of dibur. Hataras Nedarim, you have to say mutter lach. Bechar, the kohen has to say mum, mutter. Negat Saras, the kohen has to say tameh or tar. Those three things have a din of dibur, and somehow that's different. Very unclear why that should make a difference. And just because it's a din of dibur, so what? If we're not worried about negev adavar, why can't that dibur be made by the person himself? The Rishonim also, the Rivash and others, discuss why those three cases are special. So,
maybe it's because of Motzeis Vasecha Tishmor. Mm-hmm. So that if it's a Dibur, he's going to be much more shamor on what he's going to say.
Then she'll be fine.
No, I mean, he won't. In other words, he's not going to say Mutter if it's Usser. He's not going to say. He's not going to say the opposite.
So my Sussman is arguing that if there's a presumption of integrity, then certainly he should be able to do himself. If we trust him to get it right, then it certainly shouldn't be a problem in him doing it on his own. Those three cases you're not allowed to do on your own because it's a Dibur.
Oh, that's true. It's the other way around.
So some of the Rishonim just say it's Exeris Akasav. The Hataras Nedarim comes from the drush of Lo Yachel Dvaro. A person can violate his own neder, Avol Acherim Ochlin Lo. Other people can be matarid. Mashma other people, not the person himself. Tzaras, it says Behuva El HaKohen. Mashma the Kohen should be someone else other than the person himself. Just Exeris Akasav. We can't look for any reason necessarily. Just Exeris Akasav. Some say these three things, for some reason, is more of a chashad. Bechar, we find that people were nechshad and bechar. But whatever the reasons are, the consensus of basically all the Rishonim is, possibly one or two exceptions, all the poskim is that in general, an Isser V'Heter, a person is allowed to paskin, just not these three things. Now, it's interesting, actually, I mentioned the Rivash. Rivash was actually talking about a shayla Bataras Nedarim, similar to our shayla. The shayla was, Ruvain was Madir Hanar from Shimon. And Reuven said, Reuven made a neder that Shimon can have no hanah from his property. Shimon was a chacham, and Reuven wanted Shimon to be matir the neder. That would benefit Shimon, because Shimon was the one who was prohibited by the neder. Rivash says he can't do it. And that's basically this din of you can't be matir neder. And he says, not even though it's not your own neder, in this case it was the other guy's neder, if you're negeh b'davar, the Rivash says that's the same thing. That once the Torah says, lo yachal dvaro, that a person can't be matir his own neder, anyone who is nogeh to a neder is like the person's own neder, and the person's own neder is exeris akasav. But again, the Rivash is only saying when it comes to Ataras Nedarim, when it comes to being matter neder, there's exeris akasim of lo yachal dvaro. The Torah said you can't do it yourself. It's mashma from the Rivash. If you're just passing a shayla about a neder, if the Rav has a shayla whether a person's pledge to a shul is binding or not, and it's a shayla nedarim, even if the person is the Rav of the shul or benefits from the shul, it's mashma. That's not called negabah davar. Isser v'heter is not negabah davar. Only either based in or hataras nedarim are these other examples. Since in this case you're just passing a shayla about a neder, but you're not being matir neder, it would seem that there's no problem with negabah davar. So on the original shayla, if the Rav of a shul is asked to rule a shayla about a pledge to the shul, it seems that there would be two reasons to be makel. First of all, that's not called negabah davar. He doesn't stand to gain directly from his salary is fixed. And the Mari ben Leiv tells us that the Rav is allowed to pass into members of his community, even now again. The people who own the shul, that's a different shayla. The Sefer Torah is to the Bnei Ha'er, in certain cases that might be a problem. So to anybody in the shul, not just the Rav. So if you fall afoul of those considerations, then you might have a problem. But if the shul has money and the Rav's salary is fixed, the fact that he's paid by the shul, that wouldn't be negabah davar simply because the shul's having more money. Additionally, there's no din negabah davar in Issur v'Heter outside of based in the Choshen Rishpat context.